Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Hello and welcome to Down at Third Man podcast. We're on to episode 9 and we've got yet another cracker lined up for you tonight. We've got another great pro cricketer joining us and we've also got everyone's two favourite Division 2 North Staff players, which is, of course, Aid the Ginger Lallo and Jono the Skipper Mascree. How are we, boys?
I don't think many people in Division 2 would say that to us, mate.
Probably the least favourite.
But yeah, the least favourite. Hated around the league.
Especially after keeping you in every club in the league, then
yeah. Even we've not got many left that probably do like us, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we won't worry about how the North Staff's fraternity might think about all of us at the moment, or at least the ones who are getting brown envelopes. As always, just like to start off by saying a big thank you to Woodstock. Obviously, go and use our discount code online if you looking to get some new kit. They've got plenty of stuff on at the moment. And yeah, they have literally got all kinds of stuff on, all kinds of price ranges. It looks really, really good. And I can't wait till hopefully, is it just over a week, till we can have a net and we can use our kit, to be fair, boys. So nearly time. Now, as I said, we are joined by a very special guest tonight and we're really pleased to have with us, I think we're going to have to call him a legend, aren't we? Probably the first legend we've had. We've had a couple of young guns, but no legends. So we've got Lancashire legend, Steve Croft. How are we, Steve?
I'm very good, thank you, gents. Yourselves?
I'd be full on Philly Nash in there if it described me as a legend and then say, oh yeah, we've got some young guns and now we've got Steve Croft. Well done, Ash.
I'm going to mean this as the biggest compliment ever. I honestly thought Steve was older than he is, because I remember Steve playing years and years ago and I was thinking
deep digging, mate.
I know.
I look around the changing room and I'm starting to feel my age now, to be honest. Especially when I hear all the music that the lads are playing.
Oh, do tell. What's a standard selection in a Lancashire dressing room? And we have discussed this previously.
Well, a few lads have been to, I don't mind at times like Drake and a bit of Garage and all this stuff. But I prefer my 90s playlists and more sort of band stuff. It's just you always end up saying what's this crap, and then you just take a step back and think, Christ, I sound like my dad.
Worst offender in the squad?
Probably Danny Lamb. I know he doesn't like that music, but he's just listening to it to fit in. I think he's probably a bit of a country boy or something like that. That's more his bag, but he gets on his iTunes, just some modern stuff to try and fit in, to be honest.
Great.
Oh, God. At least it's not horrible. Rap and grime. Oh, God.
Don't do it. Right, before we get into a deep conversation with Steve, Jono, you've got a couple of announcements for us, haven't you, mate? One of them has sort of gone out on social media, but can explain it better to me.
I'll get to that one second. So first one, just an extra sponsor to the video this week. Big thanks to Robinson's Brewery, based in Stockport, near where Steve plays. I believe you're actually from the Robinson's Brewery. You can actually see Old Trafford on a good day. But and Robinson's actually sponsoring Lancashire. So we've picked a good week, really. I can say that from experience, because I've actually been in the Robinson's Brewery box. Sorry to put that one out there at Old Trafford.
Oh, here we go. We don't get a box seat, do we, dude?
No, I won't remind Steve of that night, because it's the most one-sided game that I've ever seen the team that were absolutely hammering the other team lose. Because Lancashire were absolutely walking it against Durham. And they were tickling along, and then they brought on some right arm offie. I'm not even sure he bowled, called something Travaskis. And that's, they lost about 4-4. And they lost.
I sort of remember that. I tried to erase that one. Thanks for bringing it back.
No problem whatsoever. All I can tell you, Steve, is I was having an absolute great time on free ale and free food, and stopped in Hilton after and saw a very, very sad and dejected Matthew Parkinson drowning his sorrows at the bar. But other than that, a great night was had by all. But yeah, big thank you to Robinson's Brewery for chucking us all some beer. Lal, you've sampled all of yours already.
Yeah, I had a bit of a bad head Sunday morning, mate.
And it was a big crate. It wasn't a small crate that we all picked up.
I can't remember what they tasted like, but I think the first couple tasted nice.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a sales pitch.
Yeah, there's some strong stuff, Tierney, so I don't think you'll need many to knock you to sleep. But yeah, so a big thanks to Robinson's Brewery. Very apt that we've got a Lancashire lad on. And also, I suppose, the main one really is we just like to really happy to announce a partnership. We've been in talks. I've not sorted any transfers or anything, but we've been in talks with Cardiac Risk in the Young, something, close to local cricket, local football, local sport, really. The surrounding area, certainly for us at Bignall End. Former patron, lad who turned out for us, used to come and drink in the club, Danny Hughes. And the Danny Hughes Memorial Fund, run by his dad, Dave, and his mum, Sue, and all of their family. They do some absolutely unbelievable work. They raise thousands and thousands for heart screenings in and around the parish and in the village. We put on an absolutely unbelievable Danny Hughes Day every year. It raises tens of thousands of pounds to put on these screening days. And we all attend, all of the lads attend. People in the local area attend. People across Staffordshire attend these days. Dave and Sue and the family have bought a mobile scanning van in the past with the money that they raise. So we're really pleased that the bat stickers and any donations, we're really proud to announce the link to Cardiac Rescue in the Young and specifically the Danny Hughes Memorial Fund in honour of Danny Hughes. So yeah, big thanks to Ash for letting us do it and a big thanks to Dave, Sue and the Hughes family and Cry for letting us announce that and hopefully we can raise a bit of cash across the season. That'd be good.
Yeah, so we've got the bat stickers. Just Giving, hopefully. We'll take donations in the next couple of days. £2 or more, you get yourself a bat sticker. Me or John will give it to you, or I can post it. So please keep an eye out for once that goes live, guys. And if we can get rid of the first 100, that'd be mint. And then I'll best get ordering some more, if so.
I think it'd be really nice as well, wouldn't it, if we started turning up once the season started and all of a sudden we started seeing the Down at Third Man pod, the Cry stickers on everyone's bats, and it became a bit of a thing in the local leagues. That'd be really, really cool, I think. And if we can raise a bit of money for charity along the way. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to listen to us three twerps waffle on every week. But
I thought you were getting called us twats then. But
No, that's later. I'm saving that for people I don't like. But if we can raise some money along the way, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Right then, I guess we best get into chatting to Steve because I feel like we've got so much to talk about. We might be here all night. So, Steve, the first thing is obviously everyone knows you as a Lancashire legend. You're from Blackpool, so everyone thinks of Lancashire. But I was amazed to learn that you actually grew up and spent some of your younger years in Sri Lanka. Can you explain all about Sri Lanka? Because I was not expecting that, I'll be honest, when I was researching.
No, a lot of people aren't really, but it's a far cry from Blackpool, really. But yeah, it was we moved out there as a family when I was about sort of 6 or 7 years old. Before that, I'd probably not even touched a cricket bat. To be fair, I was football mad. So went to school out there, schooled at an international school, and it's their sort of football for what it is here, obviously, and they. The year I went as well, they just won the World Cup, so that the country was on a massive high, and literally every spare bit of wouldn't even have to be grass because there wasn't much over there, beach, street, anywhere you look, they were playing cricket, not even with bats and balls sometimes, anything you could find. So it was, to be fair, it was when I first went over there, I was a bit gutted to leave all my friends in England, and I was missing football like mad, but. To be fair, it was quite a good lesson, not only life lesson, but for cricket, for obvious reasons. To have 3 years playing out there, day in, day out, was great, really, from a cricket sense. And when I came back, when I was around 10 years old, joined up with the Blackpool Cricket Club, and seemed to be slightly a bit more advanced than the lads back here. And we ended up then sort of skipping quite a few age groups and playing quite higher up. And obviously, that was a big learner as well for me.
Interesting. I was shocked by the Sri Lanka thing, but then as you say, you've come back to Blackpool. Was it good to be back in Blackpool? I can't decide whether being back in Blackpool would be an amazing thing or not.
And so yeah, you've just stuck your foot in it again. Now you're just insulting his hometown.
Yeah, but
so you've exactly the same.
Yeah, you've whittled your way through his age, his career. I'm just waiting for the next one where you just go, yeah, you're reaching the end, mate. The end is nigh.
I like Blackpool, mate. You'll be coaching
soon enough. Bloody hell, fire.
Both got palm trees.
Fish and chips.
Yeah, to be fair, on return, I was glad, really, because it was just before sort of senior school, and that was one of the reasons I came back, really, as well as the family. But yeah, it was a great experience, and I was pleased to come back at that time as well. I still wanted to play footy as well, which I did do when I came back, and nice to sort of get that back going as well. And to be fair, I struggled sort of academic out there because it was a private international school, and with them, when being English, everyone thought I was going to be a brain box, but I struggled really. But sport was a good outlet, really. Especially cricket at the time, trying to put all my focus into that. Yeah, and obviously it paid for when I came back.
So obviously you said you played at Blackpool and then you ended up at Lancs and came through in their academy. What was it like coming through at that sort of time? What was it like at Lancs in sort of the early 2000s and then making your second team debut at 16?
Well, it's quite daunting, really, that second team. But sort of rewind a bit more, like probably most league cricket, it used to be quite a bit stronger, really, before everyone sort of started dispersing into other leagues, and you're tending to get some good, really good pros coming over and stuff like that. But yeah, I thought first 11 club cricket was a real good test for me. I probably struggled the first two or three years I played it, really. Played a bit earlier, about 13, 14, but it took a while to find my feet, if I was being honest. And so I had some good sort of local lads around me sort of almost teaching me. And then, yeah, when I played that second team game, I thought, fucking hell, I'm a million miles off here. Remember Jack Russell was behind the sticks for Gloucester, and Jimmy was playing for Lancs, peppered me up in the nets in the morning. And I thought, shit, I'm a million miles away from here. But it's weird. Probably most cricketers have that. When they step up a level, they think, am I good enough? And you have a little bit of doubt. But I think the more time you spend in that environment, you get used to it and you obviously learn and hopefully adapt. When I played that second team game, I thought, geez, I'm nowhere near it.
I'll be honest, you've just brought up perfectly a couple of listeners' questions that we've got as well, because one of the lads who plays and his daughter plays at my club is actually from Blackpool and played, I think it was for BAE Systems. And his his first question was, why on earth were you playing for Blackpool Sunday 11 against Pally Shield Village Cricket Team whilst on Lancashire's books? Because it ended in Matuano getting a golden duck with you bowling. So I think he was just questioning why on earth he was facing you, to be quite honest. But his second serious question was, he wanted to know who was the hardest person to face in nets at Lancs. And his suggestions were that he thought it would be either Jimmy or Freddie, but he was really interested to know which.
Just like to say that yet again, you've landed your foot. There's a recurring theme here. So essentially, you've just stitched Steve again. Why are you cheating in a third 11 game? Your class. Why are you playing in a Sunday game?
Hey, he can come play in a Sunday game for me.
Yeah, and me.
I don't think he wants to now, mate.
No, now he won't, no.
I must have got a free tea that day. Obviously, Fred and Jimmy, you mentioned there, obviously, weren't too nice, but... To be fair, Murley was there when I first signed pro, and to be fair, it wasn't nasty. It was just sort of, it was a bit embarrassing, really. you literally stick your bat out and guess which way it was going, which was, but yeah, Murley was obviously the toughest, where with Jimmy and Fred, you get used to the pace after a while. But yeah, it was obviously a bit of a shock the first couple of times you face them, especially Jimmy back then when he first onto the scene. He was rapid as well. He was 90s, so it wasn't nice. And you know what, you've seen Jimmy on the telly. He's like that at Nets. He's a real competitor. Wants to knock your head off. And a youngster coming into the side as well probably thought, right, let's show him what it's about, and he sure did.
Is there a bit of that, Steve? Just out of interest, like is there a thing? I mean, I don't know whether it's a bowler's. I'll never know because I'll never bowl a proper ball in my life. But is there a thing amongst bowlers where they are just like absolutely horrid in the nets as well?
I think a few people are in certain situations. So we'll have sort of performance nets at times where it is a bit like a game, really, and the bowlers don't want to give you anything. They'll happily bump you. But as a batter as well, it obviously keeps you on your toes and almost mimics that sort of game situation of tempers getting flared a bit or emotions running high. And to be fair, it ends up being good practice as long as you can have a beer afterwards and say and still have a good yarn about it. But yeah, it still goes on at Nets, especially. Yes, the spinners usually end up getting whacked most of the time, and then they get all fired up, and when they do get you out, it's piss off or something a bit more fruitier once you actually cloth one. But yeah, it does get a bit heated sometimes at Nets, and I actually don't mind. It's good. It's good for morale, really. I think it's always good to have a good heated exchange now and then.
Like a bit of nastiness. A can be nasty in Nets, can't you, mate?
Mine's if I like them, mate, I'll be nice to them. And also if I like
them. If they bowl fast, you mean?
Yeah, if I've got to face them after and quit, then I'll start being nice to them, give a few off volleys and that. But then if Jono's batty, mate, I crank it up a bit more.
There's nothing worse than seeing your left arm opening bowler just start to get loose just as you're going and getting your pads on. It's an absolute delight. He's not bowled a ball. He's one of them, right? We've all got them. Every club cricketer will know exactly what I'm on about. Every club's got one. You're fast opening bowler. He turns up to training, bowls about four balls every night, and he's just got two or three people who he's got lined up. And all of a sudden, you're going to see him all of a sudden stretching. I'm thinking to myself, I've not seen him stretch for 18 months. I don't know what he's doing here. Oh, right, he's gone pick up a ball. I know what's coming now. Yeah, yeah. This one's coming in the head.
A new ball as well.
A new ball, yeah. One of those pricks that buys a new ball. Or it's covered in Mr. Sheen.
First, and then you go and crank it up to the ones you don't like.
Yeah, all that.
Nothing's changed since under-11s then. That's nice to hear. Obviously, you wrote yourself into the history books, first role for Lancs back in, I guess, really, in 2011 when you hit the winning runs for their first county championship title in 77 years. What was it like as a Lancs lad being the one who got to hit the winning runs on the last day of the season down at Taunton? Because that sounds like a dream to me.
It was, and to be fair, that's the last bit I remember of that day, to be fair. but yeah, it was a sort of dream. You sort of, even sort of growing up as a Lancs lad, you were obviously very successful in one-day cricket, and to be fair, I didn't know until obviously probably assigned how long that wait was, had been really for that championship. So it was almost I don't think something that they really talked about much, but it was one of those sort of things lurking in the background that we haven't won the championship for quite a long time. And the year we actually won it was ended up being very special because obviously it was 77 years is a lifetime to wait, but just on the circumstances, how it happened was brilliant, really. The club were struggling financially, really. It's hard to think of when you see the sort of ground and the club now, but I think they just got big loans out for the renovation, and they had obviously some snags with it and a few problems. And I think we only had 16 on staff that year, which ended up being a positive in most of the lads' eyes. You knew you were probably going to get a game, and we had one decent overseas in Maha Roof, who came over for the right reasons, really. I think it was quite minimal money, but Sri Lanka were here at the same time, and he wanted to get in the test side. So he had a point to prove, and it's well documented. We obviously played a lot of outground cricket as well, which, to be fair, was a bit of a turn on, really, knowing that someone's going to leave the game or the ground with a win, really. So at Old Trafford, it can get a bit flat and dormant if you've got two good sides with good weather. It's a high outcome as a draw, but playing at outground, you know that there's probably going to be a result. So there was that carrot at the end of every game that someone's going to be a winner here, and we got on an early roll and just seemed to keep rolling, really. And we obviously got touted to go get relegated that year as well, which is a bit of extra motivation. But yeah, it was special as Lanks lad, and most of the squad that year were young Lanks lads, and we thrived off playing with each other, and we'd obviously played with each other in the twos and age group cricket, and something that was probably a lot of people saw through, really, and thought, oh, there's no massive names in there, but the team spirit we had was great.
Does it make something a bit extra special, Steve, as well? I mean, obviously, with your start into cricket, most people start to cricket coming through club cricket. Was there something a little bit extra there? The fact that you get to play all those outgrounds almost every home game, and there's a little bit more of a connection to why we all started. Because obviously we're all here. We love club cricket. That's what we're all about. And I mean, what do we get? We get maybe like one Derbyshire game in that they cross over into Staffordshire once in a blue moon. And it's always a good day. And like that link to the local area, it just, everyone goes mad for it, local cricket wise. So was there a little bit more in it rather than maybe playing at a big ground like Old Trafford and there's not many in and something like that?
Yeah, and to be fair, most lads, we love going to the outgrounds. It's where most of us started playing cricket, really. There's a few precious ones that don't get the padded chairs and the dressing room attendance and the pool at Old Trafford. But yeah, most of us love going. Like one of my favourite games that year was when we played at Blackpool. It was so surreal. At the time, I lived in Blackpool and just literally 200 yards from the ground. So I walked to the ground each morning. It felt like club cricket, really. And luckily, got 100 that game and a 50-odd. And it just felt so surreal playing a Lancashire game at your boyhood club. And we got a win there. It literally just felt like a four-day club game for me. All the lads were down there. And it was just a surreal feeling. But that the club cricket, yeah, the outgrounds at Lancs, we all love it. We didn't really play too many there last year. Well, around, we played up at Sedba, but even still, it's great. It's great to get to the outgrounds, and usually you stay over and around in that location as well. So it puts a little bit extra on your trip as well, which is always nice. Go out and about and see the area as well.
As well as obviously the Red Bull success, I guess you've become almost more known of late for the White Bull success, and actually went and won the Blast in, was it, I think 2015, after a run of something mad like 15 losses in semi-finals and finals. So what was it like in comparison to winning the county championship, going and winning on finals day?
Yeah, it was a little bit similar. Like you alluded to there, how we come so close was always a bit of a monkey on our backs, really. We felt, well, we did have, I think, the most wins in the country, and I think in world cricket in T20 without actually winning the trophy, which was so frustrating. Yeah, X amount of finals and finals day with no trophy was just almost a bit of a hoodoo. It was something that we wanted to put right. But yeah, 2015, similar feel to that 2011, really, with the local lads. We obviously had a great overseas that year in James Faulkner, who was at top of his game. He just won the World Cup with Australia. But similar feeling. We had a great homegrown core. But yeah, it was something that, it was weird. Even now we play T20 cricket, we've still got a great record in it, and we're confident. It's just those, I don't know, it's probably in most sports when it comes to finals day, it is anyone's game, really. So we're really confident in And I remember that actually finals day was felt a bit different. It felt like, right, we're going to win this. Yeah, we played some good cricket and it luckily came out on top.
Obviously, as I say, you've become known almost for your white ball cricket. And I guess that's partly because you are an English record holder. I was absolutely astounded by the fact that you played 131 T20s in a row over 10 years. Do you think you were just lucky with injuries, or do you think like it's just down to keeping fit and being consistent? And
it still pisses me off, that record, you know, because I still should be going now. I got dropped for a game or two, but no, yeah, it was something, yeah, sort of quite proud of.
Well done, Ash. You've just done it again. Now you're moving on to the hurting memories here.
See, you mentioned the fitness, and that was his little good point, and then it's just got backfired again.
it's one of those things you don't really know until you sort of start approaching it, and then, yeah, I think it ended up being like third in the world. I think I needed two or three more games to get past, I think, Coley and Dhoni, whoever it was.
Not a bad list then, mate.
No, yeah, and I got dropped for... I wasn't really bothered about the record, to be fair. I got dropped for a Roses game at home, which I was absolutely gutted about. And to be fair, I didn't know how to react at the time because I'd never been dropped for a T20 game. It was a weird feeling, but yeah, it was, we obviously got some great. We obviously got the best. Probably the medical team around at Lanx and facility wise. So all the lads look after themselves well, and obviously a bit of luck plays its part as well. Touchwood, been pretty injury free throughout my career, and only broke a thumb here and there. And luckily, it wasn't in that sort of T20 season. It's weird how you can play that many seasons and games in a row. Really, it was. But thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. I'm doing well tonight, are you, boys?
Seeing it, really bizarre fact for you, just on that point. I happen to know what the longest actual consecutive appearance streak is in professional sports. Do you know what it is?
I'm guessing it's a footballer, but I could be wrong.
Incorrect. Think American sports.
Oh, is it going to be Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Someone?
No, they only play 16 times a year, mate. You've got no chance. Baseball is the game, Steve.
Oh, no, I don't know baseball.
They play shed loads of games, don't they?
They play 162 games a year.
Jesus.
in 180 days.
Wow.
So most of them are back-to-back, and some days they play twice in a day.
What's the record then? Come on.
I believe it is over 3,000.
Wow.
Jesus.
One fax with Jono.
Yeah, 3001. 3001, there you go.
Wow.
Is that still ongoing?
No, he's retired. It's a guy called Cal Ripken. He played for the Baltimore Orioles. There you go.
Wow.
He's got just getting his record up here. And it was between. He played 20 years, basically, without running a game off.
Jesus.
20 consecutive seasons. So there you go. That's not bad, though.
I think that's pretty safe, that record.
Yeah.
It's not like those club cricketers missing a game going holiday, is it?
Yeah.
Stag do.
We've done that one, mate. It's a sore subject. I'm not going back to that.
So, obviously, I guess cricket's changed quite a lot in the last few years. How have you found it sort of adapting and sort of going from being red ball orientated to being white ball orientated and now again being back to sort of like, I guess, red ball and white ball? Do you find it easy to adapt between the two different styles, or does it take some getting used to?
Yeah, I think sort of the county game, yeah, you have to really, because you play that much cricket and different formats in such a short amount of time. So it's always, even when I started, you were to and fro in from competitions. I think when I started, there was four comps. You had the Pro 40 and they had the C&G and T20 and Champo. So you had sort of four different comps. So it's always sort of been around and hectic. I think the tough thing is what we do now is try and put it in blocks, which helps massively on your prep and travel, stuff like that. There was a time where you were just, you literally play, you played a T20 on a Friday, travelling somewhere on a Saturday to play a 4-day on the Sunday, and sort of having a few weeks like that, and you literally didn't know what colour the ball was going to be when it come down. But yeah, that having that prep time, it is a massive sort of little advantage, if you can call it. But suppose everyone in county cricket's in the same boat. We're, I wouldn't say lucky, but I think the likes of Durham, Somerset and Sussex and Hampshire, the ones who have to sometimes go literally up and down the whole country, can have it tough at times, but I suppose you get the weather down there, so it's fine.
But sunny Blackpool, I mean, what more could you want? And sunny Manchester, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So looking at, obviously, this year coming ahead, what are your ambitions for 2021? And are you hoping at Lancs to be strong in all three, or are you focusing on one in particular? Or
we want to try and sort of attack every competition, really, bit of a cliche, but yeah, we got a really good position sort of coming into last year. Obviously, it was no one knew the pandemic had hit. We'd just come off a good role in Division 2, not losing a game. Had some great additions to the squad in sort of Luke Wood, and I suppose now we've got Blathers as well and a few others. And today we now signed Jackson Bird as well. So on the championship front, yeah, we're looking a good side, I suppose, with most good sides, though. We're never sure. We might get a bit of Jimmy, we might get Joss back, might not. I suppose that's the only sort of dilemma you have when you've got good players in your side. You don't exactly know who's going to turn out. But yeah, we'll be looking to obviously challenge in the championship. We've sort of yo-yoed the sort of past decade up and down a bit in that division. So hopefully, I think like all teams, you want to be in the division first and foremost, without sounding too negative, stay in the division and then obviously climb your way up it and hopefully win it. And you know, if you get to finals day, get out of the groups in T20, anything can happen. And I think the exciting one this year is the One Day Cup. We obviously lost a few players to the 100, so it's a good opportunity for some younger lads. And yeah, obviously we might still lose a few more for the wild card stuff. We're not, and again, we don't know. We can't even put a team down on paper for that yet. But sort of quite exciting. It's a comp that the One Day Cricket. It's still a great game. It's a great. We saw that with the World Cup, really, and how well England did. It still draws people in. It's a great format. But yeah, we'll be looking at hopefully trying to compete on all three. We definitely got the squad to do it. Touch wood, we all stay fit. But yeah, we'll be looking to push on all three. Hopefully,
I must admit, I saw the signing Jackson Bird today and thought that was great. And then when I saw the signing of Finn Allen for the T20s, I cannot wait.
That was
cannot wait to pop along to a couple of them later. And I think I've booked a couple of tickets for June and July, so I am hoping Finn Allen is there and he is on fire, because I've seen him in the Super Smash and oh my God, he hits a long ball.
I've been watching the highlights of the Aussie One Day Cup, and Jackson Bird's been in some decent nick, to be fair. And then you go and watch the New Zealand highlights. Shout out to the worst highlights in the world, by the way. Anything involving New Zealand cricket are the worst highlights. You'll go. Have you ever seen them, Steve? Right. So you go from like, first ball of the game, just knock it back. Yeah, we've seen the first ball of the game. Yeah, sound. Next thing you know, someone's 60 for three and 10 overs have gone in a 2020. I'm getting... What's just gone on? I just... All of a sudden, Finn Allen's on 40 off 12. I'm getting, can I see the rest of it, please? But no, in all seriousness, right, I know we've not all seen him in this country yet, but oh my God, you watch a video of him, it's like watching your football team sign a new signing and then just hammering the YouTube videos. The lad looks absolutely mustard.
Is he the one that's gone to RCB?
Yes.
Replaced Felipe.
Replaced,
yeah, he's a serious talent, I would say. Last question from us before we get a couple of listeners' questions. Just wondering about sort of like your future, Steve. Are you planning to be the next Darren Stevens? Are we going to be going...
Here we go. I told you it was coming.
In about 12, I told you it was coming. Time. Or you were telling us tonight you were coaching, obviously, the academy lads. Is that the route you want to go down in the future?
Yeah, sort of. Well, on both fronts, really. I would like to sort of play as long as possible, as long as I'm obviously still performing. I feel I've got a worth in the side. 36 now. Yeah, I still feel like I could probably reach 40, but obviously it just depends on my own fitness. To be fair, like the last few years, of what the lads go through in the winter, like they're getting fitter and fitter, and obviously age, you obviously get older, and I do find it a bit tough for trying to keep
just
up
a number.
Yeah, trying to keep up with the young uns, but it's a bit more tailored to me now, my program. But yeah, as long as I feel like I'm contributing, I want to play and still win games for Lancs. But yeah, I think the overall goal, well, when the boots are hung up, is to go into coaching. I've just completed my level 4 this winter, so I had the last 2 winters doing that. I've been in sort of in the academy sort of last 4 or 5 years, sort of helping them out, and it's been good from me going through that route of Lancs' first sort of cohort in that academy to then be coaching them now a bit is nice. It's sort of cricket all I've known really since probably 16 years old. Old Trafford's been my second home really, and all the lads have been like family really, so it's a place I know I've known for the last 20 years. So it'd be nice to transition into there. Obviously, there's no guarantees. It might have to sort of might be something I have to travel around with and maybe go around the country or different countries. But it's something I feel passionate about and like getting stuck in and getting your hands dirty at times but mainly helping other lads is a big one for me.
Well, we've got a question. Well, we've had a few questions in, but we answered a couple of Matt's earlier. I think you actually managed to answer Andy Mountford's question, who's a big Lancs fan, without actually us asking you the question. So we'll skip over his. But we've got one from Nick from Robinson's Brewery. And we must give a shout out to his partner, Rachel, who I'm told is the world's biggest Steve Trough fan.
Can't confirm. There's selfies on the phone from a Blast game a couple of years ago. I have seen them.
All right.
I don't know whether they came down from the Robinson's Brewery. What's the word I'm looking for? The box. Come down from the box to grab the royal box to grab a selfie on the outfield.
I must have demanded a free shandy or something.
You'd have been lucky. He's tight as hell. I don't know how we managed to get 3 boxes of beer between us. We've done very well.
Not from Yorkshire, is he?
No. Just think of like Stoke as a poor man's Yorkshire. Tight. Tight without the accent. That's it.
Well, Nick sent us a couple of questions. So, first one is the best player you've played with and the best player you've played against?
Probably no shock, but Jimmy Anderson, sort of the way he's sort of grown and developed and keeps upskilling even at his age. And I like having him around as well because I'm not the oldest in the changing room, which is good. From seeing him as a 17, 18 year old to where he is now, not sort of rested on his laurels, like I said, just kept getting better and better. And when you saw him with Lancs colours on, still had the same passion as what you see on telly for England. Still does all his own work on the batters and a real sort of real art to his trade, what he does really, and he's a genius really to play for that long as a seamer. He deserves everything he's got the plaudits. Honestly, he's great to be around as well. He's obviously doesn't smile too much, but he's a great teammate. He's obviously great to have around for the lads as well. He's just an icon. and probably best played against. I think Mushtaq Ahmed was up there. I was obviously quite early in my career. I just kept getting it on the shin by him. Well, he just kept blowing googlies. He was up there, really. We had some great battles with them, Lancashire, Yorkshire games. Steve Harmison was obviously very tough when he was in his pomp. Just got a bounce from nowhere and felt like just everything hit you under the armpit. There's been quite a few, really. Probably Mushtaq Ahmed. He was, I think, a couple of seasons in a row. He took over 100 wickets. He was on fire. But we had some great battles down. Us in Sussex at that time. Two really good sides.
Great North Staff South Cheshire League link there as well. Mushy was. Did he start? Didn't he start? He started proing in our league and then got picked up by Sussex, didn't he? I'm sure that was how it went
down.
Something
like that.
He was pro for Little Stoke, one of your former clubs, Lal.
One of many.
One of many. and then another great Mushtaq Ahmed link. Mushy's brother, also called Mushy, was our pro. He was our pro for a while.
Oh, nice.
Did he play for you as well, Tierney?
Yeah, mate. I hadn't played cricket for about 5-6 years, and I turned up. I got roped into playing on Sunday. They said, come for a net in the midweek before. And my first ball was Mushy turning it square at me. I was like, what the fuck have I signed up to here? I thought I was playing shitty Sunday cricket and I've got Mushy turning them square on me.
I think he made one appearance for Sussex. They both were at Sussex for the same time. I think it was like, we sign one, we've got to sign them both.
He's
little brother. And then he played, knocked around some second team cricket and then came proing back in our league. I'll tell you what, I mean, I know it's a different kettle of fish here, Steve, so I'm not trying to like profess that me and you are in the same talent boat here, but when little Mushy, our Mushy, bowled, he is the only person I've ever encountered where the ball got quicker after it hit the pitch. It's the most bizarre thing, and you were like completely stumped because it just kept hitting you right in front of all three. And you're like, how has that happened? I'm there, I'm ready. And then it just like, just explodes out of nowhere.
Yeah, weird. Exactly.
Very weird.
Hit me on the pad quite a few times.
Right, we're going to finish off, Steve, for this little bit with a quick fire round. Now, Joe did it last week, and I think he was amazed by how much pressure was on him to answer questions quickly. He apparently lied to us and just started naming random things for to be his favourite. So we'll see if you can do a little bit of a better job than Joe. So, Aid, are you going to time again this week, mate?
Oh, go on then. Is this my little job?
This is your new job, mate. The timer, man. Remember, you have to say go, mate, not me, because it doesn't work otherwise.
3, 2, 1, go.
Highest score?
156.
Best figures?
6 for 61.
Favourite club cricket ground?
Blackpool.
Favourite county cricket ground?
Lords.
White ball or red ball?
Red ball.
Favourite food?
Pizza.
Favourite drink?
Red wine.
Favourite TV show?
Modern Family.
Favourite film?
Training Day.
Favourite band?
Kings of Leon.
Good choice. Pre-match song?
Sex on Fire.
Nice. Biggest fear?
Spiders.
And that's it, turn it.
Oh, that's not a bad one. I think you got to the exact same point as Joe did last week, so we'll take that. The next one on the list was going to be an interesting one as well. I got favourite teammates. Do you dare give an answer?
God.
to be fair, as of last year, I probably said Pazza because I played the most with him. But I'll probably show my age again. There's no one really within my age bracket, really, apart from sort of Jimmy, who's a couple of years older. Tom Bailey's probably similar to my age. You probably don't want me saying that. He's probably not even 30 yet. But, but yeah, spend a bit of time on and off the field with him, a bit of Call of Duty now and then, and a few beers when it is allowed. But yeah, probably Bales.
Great stuff. Now, big thanks for obviously for that little bit of the show. Are you able to continue with us, or do you need to get away from us? You can say, sorry. We don't mind.
yeah, fine.
Good, good. Well, then I guess we have to speak, boys, about England-India, which I thought was going to be a really positive conversation today, and then it went a bit Pete Tong, didn't it?
Ruin my day off, that is.
Oh, again for you.
Every time I don't watch it, we win.
It's all right, mate. You'll be back in work soon, like the rest of us, and then.
No, I'm back now, mate. It's just my day off.
What have we made of it so far? I think it's been a case of just both teams have been extremely hit and miss.
I think it's just two good sides, isn't it? To be fair, well, reasonably good sides.
I think it's definitely a case of two good sides slugging it out, mate.
Yeah, I think both teams are very, very good. I think they're the best two teams in the world. Do I think they will both get to the World Cup final? Not so sure, just because the West Indies exist, but
I'd love to see anyone else go over to India and give India as good as they can get and still be 2-2 in a series right now, apart from maybe the West Indies. I'd love to see anyone else do it, because I honestly just don't. I don't think it can happen. I honestly think if they were over here right now, we'd be giving them a good slapping.
Yeah, really, I think that's true.
I think we're decent. in every sense of the word, in white ball cricket.
Nice. Steve, have you managed to watch much of the T20s, and what have you made of it as a T20 Blast winner?
Yeah, it's sort of to and fro a bit, isn't it? I think obviously there are a couple of players down in Bumrah. I think if they had him, they might have sort of edged it a bit more, but still, like I said, going over to India and competing. Like today was obviously a bit frustrating. A few lads got in. I think if we had a set batter at the end, we'd have probably coasted that. So it's frustrating a little bit. I think Morgan went below Stokes today, didn't he? Which is probably not. You probably want him in earlier rather than later. But similar with Stokes, would you rather have you want to give him some more balls as well? Who do you take out? Otherwise, obviously Bear's still there. There's Milan. Milan's obviously got a great record, but when he doesn't come off, he obviously faces quite a few balls. Well, I wouldn't say wasted balls. If he gets in, he generally gets a big score and wins the game. But if he doesn't, it's only usually about a run of ball, isn't it? So, yeah, I thought today, to be fair, that they might have played Mo or even gone with sort of Livy. Maybe had a gamble on Livy for maybe something like Jason Roy. You know, he's got a 40 in there as an extra spin option. But to be fair, the quicks have done really well, to be fair. Like Jofra and Wood. Wood's bowled rapid, hasn't he? And he's almost look a bit scared at times. But
proper quick.
Yeah. We played in this year up at Durham. One of the quickest I've ever seen in the Blast. Keats got 100. Obviously really good on the short ball, but he was frighteningly quick. It was freezing as well. I don't wear a chesty or I can't bat in a jumper. I was thinking, don't bowl it short because I'm not gonna take it on. But yeah,
I'd imagine that was good fun on a cold, spicy one up north.
Well, luckily, he bowled me a slow ball and I skied it.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Strong.
Good decision making.
Yeah.
What do we make then, boys, of the actual team? Do we think there is room for changes? There should be changes. There's a lot of talk from the experts about Milan. I know Jono's a big advocate of Milan. I like Milan, but I am starting to get a bit worried. I saw a stat today that he'd faced something like 14% of England's balls or something, but only scored 7% of our runs, which is a little concerning.
I've got a theory, so bear with me. I'd love Steve's view on this. Do you think there is an argument or a case that we've got too many good players? Like, as in, and what I mean by that is you could pick from probably, for every role in our team, you could literally pick 5 or 6 different people to do it. So therefore, it's almost like we're trying to shoehorn people in, aren't we? So like, Stokes could probably go up another 1, 2, 3, like Steve just said. Morgan could go up another 1 or 2, like Steve just said. You could add Moe and Ali into the side, and he could bat somewhere in the middle and bowl a bit of off-spin. You could chuck Sam Billings in just to go and bat at 6, but he might not even get a bat if we tee off really well. Livingston had a brilliant... we kept saying every week, didn't we, when the Big Bash was on, how good Livingston looked, and we thought that he was going to get a go. We've said in the last couple of weeks, haven't we, we'd love Topley to get a go, because every time I've seen Topley, he looks decent. I'm just a bit... I'm just a bit perplexed, really, because I just think we've got too many good players. We've got too many. What do you do with them all?
Yeah, I think it's a good case, good argument that obviously, and they're all, I suppose, the top six are almost top order batters in T20 cricket, and generally when you don't usually need that many. I think number 7 faces an average 3.8 balls or something it is. But obviously, you need the batters there to give the batters confidence above you. But I suppose, yeah, it's like you said, there's no actual... I don't think there's probably been a need for have a specialist finisher there, because if Joss, Jason Roy, Bairstow or Morgan Stokes have come off, they obviously not needed that lower to middle order. But I suppose you see those real good teams. Obviously, England are a great white ball team, and having those, even go back to the Blast, you see sort of someone like Dan Christian coming in at 6, 7, who just goes berserk from ball one. It's, I think if you had one of those today, obviously Jofra and Chris Jordan can bat, and obviously Sam Curran is still probably finding his feet a bit in international cricket. I think it's something that maybe Curran could fit into, being that sort of international number 7. He's obviously he could bat higher in other teams, but
sorry to stop you, Steve, but I could have sworn there that you said that Jofra Archer can bat.
Mate, he can bat in T20 cricket. He can't bat in any
else. I'm absolutely not having. We've been saying this right for 6 months, and I've listened to every expert, professional cricketer, his teammates, himself, mates, lads from the club, and I've listened to everyone say, "Oh yeah, don't worry, Joff can bat."
He can an IPL. That's about it.
He can slap it.
Yeah. Other than seeing a video on the gram or on Facebook of him batting left-handed or doing something ridiculous, I remain unconvinced.
Yeah. But sort of in a sense, he can hit a few sixes, and which is probably what you want from your 9 or 10, wherever he was coming in. But yeah, obviously it's not you down to those guys. Obviously you don't want him batting with the guy just above him. If down to one of the middle order, which if, like I said, if one of the middle order were there with him tonight, the nerve, was it Kumar at the end that nearly fluffed it a bit? Started bowling a couple of wides and it was a bit dewy. Well, yeah, I reckon if Milan was in then, or he had a Stokes with him, or Morgan, you could see him just folding even more. But yeah, it's a tough one. You tend to, when you win a game, you don't really need that middle to lower order, but yeah, like you said as well, you could make Topley could come in and do that job that I suppose Curran's doing, but then he's a little bit of that batting balance. But yeah, and Mo as well, he could easily play, and he could bat anywhere from 1 to 7, I suppose, as well.
So looking ahead to the last game, what would you boys try out? Anything different? Would you try and bring anyone in? I'd like, if I'm really honest, I want to give Milan another go on an Indian pitch, but I also really want to see Livingston or Billings get a go. I'd love to see Livingston particularly, but even Billings, because I think the pair of them have done so well recently in franchise stuff that they deserve a game, but it's a big game, so I can understand giving Milan another game and sticking to the formula. But what do you think, Jono?
I based off what I saw in the Big Bash, mate, and we watched a lot of Big Bash together, didn't we? I'd love Livingston to get a go at the top, even for someone like Jason Roy. Jason Roy's clearly in some decent nick, 30s, 40s, got a 50, hasn't he? He's in some decent nick. Like, I'm sure he wouldn't mind just having a game off, do you know what I mean? We've got some one days coming up, he's probably going to play in all of them. I'd love to see Livingston have a go and just go berserk, because I think he deserves a go. I'd like to see Topley or Ali, depending on what kind of pitch it looks like. But like Steve said, the quicks have looked really good. I'd love to see Topley given a go instead of Chris Jordan. And I'd like them to stick with Milan, because I think he looks like a really nice guy. And like Steve says, when he comes off, he comes off. And I think there's it.
Nice.
There's it. He does. He just looks like a really nice
player. So we're going to win the T20 World Cup by having a team of nice guys?
Yeah.
Well, Owen Morgan thinks so, because he won't pick Alex Hales.
Yeah, Owen Morgan won't pick Alex Hales, so therefore we're a team of nice guys. Oh yeah, if I had Maxwell right, side, Alex Hales would be opening the batting. By the way,
who'd you play him for? Who'd you play instead of?
Alex Hales. Actually, I take that back. Alex Hales would bat at three over nice guy David Milan.
Yeah, I agree.
So I know he's a nice guy, and I've just defended him staunchly. But Alex
he's
Hales
not nice enough.
He's not nice enough, so I'm going to put the lad who nearly cost us a World Cup in some people's some circles instead.
I think I'd bring Ali in for Curran, I think. Because today he's touched a ball one over. And then he's not a finisher, I wouldn't say. I think Ali's probably a better finisher. Because even though he might come off 1-3, that 1-3 can be 40 off 12 balls. And he's, you know, we saw it against South Africa. In South Africa, he can do it. And even if he chucks you one or two overs at the start of the innings, that's all he needs to do. Because Curran's touched a ball one over for, what, about 16, 17. And what, I think he got four or five, was it? Off probably four or five balls.
I'm gonna do the thing you're not allowed to do in English cricket, but I'm gonna say that blame Owen Morgan for that, because I still think Sam Curran should be bowling in the power play. He literally took a wicket maiden opening the bowling.
Wicket maiden opening the bowling ball.
And now he's not bowling till over 13th over, and then you wonder why he's going round when someone's set on about 40. I think Morgan. I would rather see Curran in the power play, and Chris Jordan and Adil Rashid save for the middle and end overs, personally.
I don't think that's the problem with the balance of the side, though, because someone's got to do it. So with all them people, you've got, like I said, you've got loads of people who could do the same job, and then it almost falls on someone like, oh, right, Sam Curran, you opened the bowling the other day and bowled really well, but we're going to give someone else a go, and you're going to get stitched bowling at this lad who's absolutely tanking it.
As a ex-skipper of a T20 side, Steve, what would you say? What would you make any changes, and where would you be looking at maybe changing the bowling if you thought you needed to?
I think sort of it just sort of depends on the big picture for me as well. Obviously, the T20 World Cup coming up, you might want to try people in different roles, and yeah, I don't know if they've got a set formula of right. This is a must win game, win the series. So is the next game going to be as if it was a World Cup game sort of thing? So, yeah, well, if I agree with you, I'd let Livy have a go for Jason Roy. So even, I think we know, like, the likes of Billings could come in there, Hales could come in, and you know they'd slot in. But if an opener went down, who'd you bat? So I think it'd be good for Livy to have a go for that, to see how he goes. And then, even to keep, obviously, Joss's spot is safe and to an extent, Roy as well. But obviously, competition will be good and keep him on the toes. But yeah, I think it depends what they think is right going forward. And do they need to have a look at the almost reserves and see what they can do, really? Yeah, I agree. I think Topley could play for Curran. I think he's... a bit perplexed why Curran didn't bowl in the power play when he can swing it as well. But yeah, it's one of them. I think you mentioned it before. You could bring Ali in. I don't think it weakens the side. Topley, you could bring four or five, or swap four or five players. I don't think it weakens the side. It, obviously, some of them haven't played as much cricket as others, but almost could feel two sides, two really good experienced sides, and I don't know what you'd call your strongest one. Obviously, form comes into it, and I know some of the lads haven't probably played in the last few weeks, but another one, Matty Parkinson, does really well in the blast. But not, I wouldn't say overlooked a bit, but he's got a probably tough ride if Dilly's in front of him. But suppose he's probably a backup if Dilly goes down. Parker could fill in that slot as well. So it sort of depends. Like I said, it depends where they want to go with for that World Cup squad. I don't know if they've got a blueprint of what they want and who can fill in if there's an injury as well. So there's a few things they could look at.
What we'll do is we'll move on from England India, because I'm sure we've still got another week's worth of talking about it, so we won't do the conversation to death, and we'll have a little look at some other cricket news. So Afghanistan, Zimbabwe. Afghanistan won the second test. Rashid Khan bowled, was it 98-99 overs, something like that. More, I think that's 30 more than he'll have to bowl in the whole of the IPL, apparently, which just shows, I guess, the difference in with white ball and red ball cricket, and why it maybe sometimes seems a bit mad when you're earning millions in the IPL and you're doing less than you do in one test match. But I thought that was just quite a good game to watch, to be fair. And then the rest of the news really was all women's cricket based. So Sarah Taylor, the ex-England wicketkeeper, new Sussex wicketkeeping coach. I think that's really good, because I think anyone who's watched it, I mean, how on earth she keeps as quickly as she does and as well as she does is beyond me. I dare say she's better than Ben Folkes in terms of pure keeping ability. As in off spinners.
Ooh.
Obviously, I know she hasn't obviously ever had to keep off 95-mile-an-hour Mark Wood, but off spinners, them hands are lightning. So I think that was good to see. And then the 100 keeps on saying it's going to be a big tournament, and it's going to have the best players, and I don't think in women's cricket they get any better than Elise Perry. I mean, she is literally like the Australian goddess of sport. I mean, she's played and scored in a World Cup, in a football World Cup, and has also won, is it two or three cricket World Cups, and scored tons and took fifers. And
yeah, we've all done that, mate.
Yeah.
Right, you wish. So, big signing for the 100. But I don't think there's been particularly any other massive news. I don't know if any of you boys have picked up on anything.
I'll give you one.
Go on, go forward.
I'll give you an underrated, proper cricket-like stat for you. If Sean Williams from Zimbabwe played for a major test-playing nation, he would be in the top five players in the world. Just discuss.
Ooh, interesting. He's a good player, but I haven't watched enough of him to say that.
Yeah, same.
I'm sure he's probably better than I realise. I've only seen him probably play.
I reckon he could well be better than the other 10 he's playing with.
Also, shout out to his message tweet, was it? About the prize money he got. Have you seen it, by the way?
No, I haven't seen the tweet. I saw that he hadn't given much money.
Yeah, she put some on. Got more runs than he actually got money for.
Yeah.
Something stupid like that.
It's like South Africa when they got paid in mobile data. Man of the match, what if you won? 20 gigabytes of mobile data.
Oh, cheers, I've got unlimited.
Hey, want it Luke Wright, who played in some Sri Lankan or Bangladesh, like domestic league, yes, and overseas, and won a smoothie maker.
A blender, yeah.
A blender.
Yeah, I think when I was in New Zealand, I think Man of the Match got an aircon handy over there.
Wow.
Don't say that the ECB and Blast don't look after you, Steve. You are well kept, I tell you.
I've just got images now, though, of a really nice little room in Blackpool Cricket Club's clubhouse that's got an amazing aircon system now. So that was about it for cricketing news. And then just wanted to do a bit of sort of our news on about our pod. We've obviously North Staff's based, and we've said we're going to do lots of North Staff's talk. So I think what we're going to plan for the next few weeks is to actually have a look at every single club over the next probably 3 weeks. Have a little chat about them, talk about the ground, where what teams they've got, what leagues, any key players, stuff like that. So anyone listening from a club, I think next week I've got it down as being like teams beginning with A to H. If you've got a fact about your club or you want to give us a bit of info about your club so that we can talk about your club a bit more than, say, some of the others, please send us some info. I'm sure Jono and Aid can do all the chat about Bignall End, like. So,
I've played for most of them clubs, mate.
Wow,
so
yeah, that was true.
Yeah,
and I've probably wound most of them up.
Yeah. So. And then after the 3 weeks of talking about different clubs and still talking about, obviously, world cricket, we're then going to have John Hancock, Port Hill captain, join us for a bit of a preview. Talk about Port Hill, obviously the biggest club locally. Ada's insinuating that Johnny Hancock is in his pocket, but I think Johnny Hancock's got closer to pro cricket than you, dude, I hate to tell you, mate.
There's an absolutely superb video that runs on a loop in our clubhouse of when... We filmed our game when we played Port Hill. So to set the scene for you, Steve... Aid and I play in Division 2, and then John, who's coming on in a couple of weeks, is captain of the multi-title winning Premier Division champions, and they are top team, to be fair to him. It's
like absolutely... Man City versus Blackpool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Man City versus Blackpool, and we're the Blackpool. Who was pro for him that year? Was it... what's his name?
Azarola.
Both hands, didn't he?
Yeah, Azarola was their pro. Great side. Most of them have played... quite a bit of minor counties cricket, been involved in minor counties cricket. We drew him in the cup, which is normally bad news. We ended up filming the game. Busy day, absolutely belting day. Anyway, I'm sure John will agree. We hammered them. And we generally did. I'm not even taking the minute. We did. We hammered them.
He only scored one boundary.
One boundary in a limited over. And what was it, second ball of the game? Second ball of the game went for four. They didn't get another boundary. Incredible. Great day.
Did you take Aid off after that first over?
No, but my point is we filmed the game and it runs like on a loop. Like we've got like a highlights thing that runs on the TVs if there's nothing on the TV in the club. And in the first over, Aid snicks John Hancock off straight to second slip. And there's Adrian Myatt, our new second team captain, standing at second slip. It is an absolute goober. It's literally straight in the bread basket. Don't move. Thanks very much, lads.
It was at first slip, I think.
Was it?
He says the keeper dived across him and the keeper didn't even move.
Yeah, he was giving it all. Keeper went across me, hit me on the end of the finger. It went in and out. I was really unlucky. And then we've literally got it on film. And it's
the best bit about that as well, mate, is we played their second team twice and lost twice to them.
We did. Because their second team were in our league. We lost.
Oh, dear.
The irony. Only in cricket, eh? Only in cricket.
So we've got Johnny Hancock coming on. He did ask that we wouldn't talk about that too much, but we've already started now, so God help him on the night itself.
We'll send him a copy of the DVD, Johnny.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we will. It's that big a thing. Yeah, it's that big a thing in Bignall End, mate, that Port Hill got knocked off in the cup. And also a highlight from that day, so we'll tell the full story when he's on, but Azarola crashing his car into the car park barrier. It's got to be mentioned. Trying to reverse. And even so, he was like asking our lads, like, oh yeah, can I go any further back, lads? And we were like, no, mate. And he just carried on reversing and just put it in the barrier. Fucking his beautiful, bright white BMW.
And then the week after Johnny Hancock, if he's still willing to come on, we have got Chris Travers from the Sentinel, who... They got commended for being one of the best papers for regional coverage. So Chris will be joining us and we'll try and preview as many of the ten leagues now.
As long as he puts me and Johnny in the players to watch, we can fail every week.
Yeah. I think we're one like the two players from Bignall End who he's actually got like a stock photo of. The only problem is you're playing at Bignall End for someone else, but he just puts it in. And then mine's when I'm about 4 stone heavier. Steve, honestly, can you remember like those, you know, the older school Albion helmets that look make your head look about four times bigger than the actual are?
Yeah, they fit my head.
Yeah, I had to wear one because that's the only one that I could get over my chin or chins at the time. It wasn't out of choice, it was out of necessity.
Brilliant. Right, then, main discussion point I've got for tonight is our club cricket chat, and it's about tees. Let's be honest, it's looking like we might not be able to have tees to start the season, but I think teas has become possibly the most contentious issue in club cricket, thanks to COVID. So before we get on to the really contentious stuff about whether we should have teas or not, what makes a good tea and what makes a bad tea? And I'm really interested to hear what the pro cricketer here has to say about teas, because I saw videos last summer of England's teas, I think it was the AGS Bowl, and oh my God, it was like a four-course banquet buffet. What? How do you play cricket after nailing a chicken tikka masala?
To be fair, obviously, Lord's is the pinnacle. Yeah, you sit down, there's fridges full of Coke, Diet Coke, Powerade, or whatever, help yourself. It's a it's waitress service, three courses, all brought to your table. Yeah, then you obviously got to go and play, which is unfortunate.
There's some lads definitely pegging in there, like, I don't want to leave.
Snick off just before lunch and then have a longer lunch.
Do you get any, like, the proper, like, club cricket thing about tea, where you get, like, your opening bowler says, bowl first, Skip, because he's going to bat 11, so he can absolutely fill his boots at tea. Do you get a bit of that? Four-day game at Lords. You're 100 for none, and the fast bowlers there, like, go on, lads, crack on. You've got another 2 days at this. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, you get someone like 20 minutes before lunch, asking to get my ankle strapped, and they won't come back on.
First in queue, Mark.
There's a few round. There's a few counties around that I think they're trying to be too healthy, and it just ends up being mush. Just grass, which is no good for anyone.
Rabbit food.
Yeah, have a bit. Like Durham's usually good because it's freezing, and then you usually get like an apple crumble with some custard, which is nice. Very nice.
So, dude, Jono, what are the best? What are your favourite things or the best things you've seen then on a cricket tee? What do you love? Other than an oatcake, obviously.
Not allowed to pick oatcakes, did you?
Well, let's be honest, we're all going to say cheese oatcakes because it's the first thing you want, innit? But
Steve probably doesn't know what a proper Staffordshire oatcake is.
No, I don't actually.
It's a bit like it's like a savoury pancake, Steve, but you fill it with like cheese and bacon and sausage. You can use it as a breakfast item or a snack. It's no good for you, but if you're really, really unhealthy, you butter the inside.
Oh, nice.
Like buttery in the inside of a pancake, and then you grill it. It's absolutely. We'll send a pack up to Old Trafford, and then they can stick it on a tee. And Matt nice. Parkinson should know, because Matt Parkinson played minor county cricket for Staffordshire.
Oh, yeah.
So he should be well versed in a Staffordshire oatcake.
He'll probably sneak one in now and then. Now, to be fair.
Speaking of teas, Turner, I remember we played Stafford away last year. And I went in because we were batting. And then whilst we were batting, I think we were like two or three downs. So obviously, I wasn't required yet. And I went in, I saw all these teas being cooked, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, I can't wait. I says, we've got quite a bowl left. And then someone came up to me and went, you do realise we can't have teas this year. And I was like, oh, bollocks, it's not for us, is it? But honestly, mate, there was chilies, curry. Oh, but Cheadle. I think I played Cheadle a couple of years ago, and they've got like chilies, curries, and all that. And I was like, fair play, we bowl first. I'm sunburnt because it's middle of summer. I'm just going to sit here and eat all the food and then just watch them bat. So,
Cheadle have done something that I've never seen on a cricket tee before as well. They had, because they take you into that long room, don't they? It's like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a.
It's
like a function room, yeah. Like a big function room, isn't it? And it's just to eat your tea in. And they have the last time I went there, they had a frozen section. So at the end, so you had all of your tea, like in order of how you'd eat it. And then at the end, you had your desserts. And then there was an extra table of frozens. So they had ice cream, they had cones, they had lollies.
Wow.
I've never seen anything like that. Unbelievable. It is a good tea at Cheadle. Very, very good tea.
Best tea I've seen is Crew, little old lady. She's got a little blackboard signs up and everything homemade. And oh my God, it is like Michelin star stuff that she's pulling out the bag. Fair play to her.
Is it Crew? Is it Crew, like this is a proper club cricket thing? Like club cricketers will understand. You know when you get a BAP, but you put your sandwich on just half a BAP.
Yeah, they do a bit of that.
I'm a big fan of that. I'll tell you where else is like an underrated experience I've had. Can you remember Church Eaton, that little village club in the middle of nowhere?
Oh yeah, I remember playing there.
They've got absolutely nothing. They've not got two bobs to throw together, but what a great set of lads. I've been there and literally someone went to the kippy, bought shed loads of chips, and we just had bread everywhere. Just bread and chips from the chippy. It was incredible.
That's normally our pre-season fixtures. My favourite.
It was a top tea. I was a big fan. Big fan.
I just think, as long as you've got plenty of food, mate, and we bowl first, I'm fair game.
No, that doesn't surprise me. What was the weirdest or the worst thing you've ever seen on a tee? I must admit, something I'm not a fan of is I've seen stuff like where there's just a whole plate of really healthy stuff that I do not know what it is. Like, actual, like, proper, what's the word, like, corn stuff and vegan stuff. And, mate, I haven't got a clue what it was. But I didn't want to eat it, I'll tell you that. Chickpeas and stuff, no.
Yeah.
I don't get when some clubs actually don't put tea out, like cups of tea or even a pot. Like, it's tea.
You've got to have a facility. Paying per item.
Oh yeah, get it in the bin. I hate. I'm actually going to put my hands on my head.
Because us fatties, mate, we ain't paying £3, mate.
So I don't know what it's like. Don't know what it's like up in Blackpool in the league Blackpool playing, Steve. But we have a league rule for team tees. So each team pays £36. You split it amongst your lads, and you can have whatever you want. So each club basically just gets £36 worth of tea. And that's more than enough. That's more than enough to fill up all of the lads. No, either. But then there's some teams that have kind of like gone against that. We've had a little exodus and they charge you per item. And like, wow. I've stacked a tea up. And if you don't realise it's not team teas, I've been at a club. I won't name them, but they're in Cheshire. And there's only two clubs in our league that are in Cheshire. And I've been charged £10 for a tea.
Wow.
£10 for a tea.
Fat,
yeah. It must have been during a fat day.
Yeah. Wow. I play my club cricket at Lytham now. I'm just down the road here. But I don't know if this is even, because they play in Liverpool comp, I don't know if it's a comp thing or it's just the club, but all the players have tea and then the speckies come in and give a donation and they have tea as well. It's a bit of a, I don't know, not a weird sell, but like you think, I was thinking, gosh, I wanted to go back for some seconds, put the speckies of it, you know.
Well, we allow that at Wedges when there's stuff left over, but it got to the point where one guy got his nickname at the club became Two Plates, because he would come down to watch and have a beer. And then he would wait until as soon as the last player had been up, he would be up there with two plates, one for himself and one for his two kids to share while he enjoyed his pint.
Oh, Tierney, are you going to mention a name? Because I can take a guess.
Nah, I'm not mentioning any names. But he did.
Can't mention a name.
Two Plates, that's his name.
Two plates, exactly. That's what he's known as, Two Plates.
I like that, Tierney. So
I really think I've got it, mate. As soon as you mentioned two kids, I think I've got it.
Well, I don't know if you'll know him, dude, so we'll have to talk about it after.
Turner spends the night stitching the professional cricketer who's given up his time to come on our
amateur run
podcast, but won't give up the name of the lad at the club he plays at for absolutely nailing the tees.
Well, he don't come to the club anymore anyway, so that doesn't really matter to me.
We do have that though, Steve, that is a thing. Like, we even have people putting orders in. Don't know whether you've seen that one before, but like, we get some people, and it is actually quite nice. Some of the older people who come and watch, they'll go to like the tea hutch and say, because they don't want to take any of the food away from the lads, they'll put like an order in and they'll do more. It's a nice little setup. It's like, yeah, that's a thing. It's a thing. Because none of the lads eat like salmon sandwiches, but they always go when the old ducks come up and have the salmon and onion sandwiches.
You've got to have some beige on there.
What I like about ours, John, is we use chips as well as oatcakes.
Anything hot, Turner, that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
It's got to be a selection of hot and cold.
Chips, nuggets, onion bargees, Oh, yes.
An underrated fruit bowl. Fruit bowl is a really underrated item.
Get that gone, mate.
Nah, I like fruit bowl.
It looks pretty, and it's nice to finish off with like
a little... I like fruit is on a cheesecake.
Put a grape, a banana, an apple, just to finish off once you've had your tea. It's a nice touch. A bit extra, yeah, but a lovely warm touch.
Right, well, my last thing on cricket teas, boys, is there was a lot of discussion last year, well, there is now as well, about whether we should keep to the traditional half-time cricket teas, because a lot of clubs got to the point where, because they weren't allowed to do cricket teas, they would instead do a barbecue after the game, or order from a chippy after the game, or a takeaway, or put on big pots of curry after the game. I personally have got to admit, I don't really eat, even though I'm a fat lad, I don't eat actually that much normally at teas. But after the game, if there's a barbecue on, mate, I'll be 3-4 burgers in 10 minutes. So.
I'll mention about our club, Tony, is we will have teas, and then once we've had a few beers, we will order a takeaway as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, best of both.
In all honesty, we do all of the above, whether we're having tea or not. So that's why we're unfit.
Yeah, fair. We're just unfit in general.
Steve, you've got to have a cricket tea, haven't you?
Yeah. Steve, have you ever like or known any player who's like had teas and then after gone, oh no, I have had too much, or it's turned round and gone, nah, I've made a mistake here. I've had a curry and now I've got run in and try and bowl 90 miles an hour in 32-degree heat.
No, I've overeaten plenty of times. Yeah, that's most games. To be fair, it's not too bad a 4-day game. I'm usually stood at slip as well, so it's not too taxing. But yeah, you've got to do it, and it's free at the end of the day. So you make the most of it. But yeah, I do actually love when you play club cricket and go to different grounds and the different setups and stuff, because. Yeah, I've only been playing at Lytton for 2 or 3 years, and I've never been to some of these grounds. So it's nice to see the folks there and the different setups. What people have, it's brilliant. No, yeah, I've going to go off on one a bit, but do love club cricket, and the folks at clubs obviously make it, and yeah, you get a good insight to a club with its teas, I reckon.
Yeah, I think when we start talking about the North Staff clubs over the next few weeks, I think some cricket teas might get mentioned. I will warn Audlem now that their cricket teas might not get a very good appraisal from me next week, because sending the 80-odd-year-old bloke 10 minutes before the game starts down to the local spa to just buy whatever party food he could find was a bit of a shit show, to say the least. There was a lot of cheese and onion rolls and a lot of party rings, but not much else on the table.
Who knew you could have this much of a conversation about cricket teas?
Oh, I could talk for hours.
It's an absolute essential, mate, that's why.
I don't know if you do it over here. In when I went to Oz club cricketing, each person had to do it each week.
That's what I was going to mention.
All right, was it? Yeah, so when it was my turn, I just went to Subway, got a platter. But yeah, the lads just like make them all at home, bring some quiches in, sandwiches. I was like, bloody hell, what's going on?
I much prefer it. We have tea ladies compared to either you all bring one plate each, or 1 week someone gets chosen to do the full thing. I know some people, like some clubs, don't have tea ladies or whatever, but. That's a preference of mine.
there's nothing worse than being the lad in your team who's done tea, he's tried your best, but he's absolutely shit. There's no bigger shame, as far as I'm concerned, in club cricket, just turning up and you've done a proper also, shit job.
Providing that you finish work, you don't want to think, oh, you can go down the pub aren't or whatever. You know, middle of summer or whatever like that. You're wasting your whole day at cricket, which sometimes you do. You're spending your full day at cricket that you get in after you finish work on Friday night, and you've got to literally cook for about, I don't know, two hours or so. It's so much better having tea ladies, to be honest.
Yeah, so basically what we're trying to say is we love all tea ladies, and please don't ever leave our clubs as the basis of that. You are the most important bit of club cricket, it seems. Right then, last thing as always is Room 101. Now, I hate to tell Joe Leach, but he's the first pro to not win his Room 101 vote. He wanted to get rid of the club cricket teams giving the big announcement for a signing, and people voted to keep it. People quite like the big Sky Sports-esque announcement for signing a player, so it's got to stay.
Absolutely gobsmacked.
Hopefully Steve has got something he'd like to throw in the cricket bin, something he wants to get rid of from cricket.
I presume, was it club cricket?
Yeah, we're aiming for club cricket, but we don't mind a wider cricket one at all.
If there's a funny first class thing you want to bin off forever, I'm all for it.
The one I did have in mind was club cricket, but I'm probably thinking some others. But club cricket, I actually hate start times for me. It's 1 o'clock. I'd rather start at 10 or 11, get it out of the way, but and then you've got more time for a nice sort of social and make most of the summer evening afterwards. But yeah, 1 o'clock start to play Liverpool comp out, and it's timed cricket as well. So then coming off the field sometimes at 8:30, and you feel like, well, your day's gone. And some of the grounds as well, you an hour and a half, an hour away as well. So it's a fair old trek sometimes. But yeah, the start times for me always bug me.
Right, we'll put that to the vote then on Twitter, so everyone can go on and have a vote. We'll put sort of early afternoon start times. We want earlier ones, so we'll put that on. We'll see if you have more than Joe.
Going to get some support in the North Staffordshire South cricket.
The only people that aren't going to agree is the ones that go out on a Friday night till 4 a.m.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
They'll be having none of it.
Yeah, they will be having none of it. But I'm with you. I would rather start a bit earlier, personally, because
I agree.
I'd rather it after the game than on the Friday night, if I'm honest. But yeah, I think that, guys, is everything we've got for this week. So, as always, a big thank you to Woodstock, and please go and use our discount code so you get some money off, because there's no point spending more money than you need to, after all. Big thanks, as Jono's already said, to Robinson's Brewery for also supporting us and sending us some beers over. And I'll look forward to picking up my case of beers at some point.
All right, mate. I'll fire. Just stick the knife in yourself, why don't you?
I'm only kidding. I've still got plenty from Christmas that I haven't drank. I need to get a move on. Oh, God, here we go. You don't need any more alcohol in your system,
dude. Right.
A big, big thanks, Steve, for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure having you on, and just been great chatting to you. If you can convince Jimmy Anderson to join us at some point, you will be the greatest person ever. But I feel like Jimmy's a bit out of our level.
Way through journey.
Maybe catch him on a coach journey or something. Maybe I could always just. I could stick him on without him being knowing. You could ask me the question, then I'll relay.
I'd be surprised if you did anything for him, Steve, to be honest. The way he's been carrying on last tonight, I'm actually embarrassed for him. I know he's my mate, but all I'm doing is feeling sorry for you.
Yeah, I'll probably retire all next week. Anyway, yeah. So.
Age, retirement, coaching, disappointment.
Steve is a legend. That's all that matters.
Legend. Oh, great. Cheers. Thanks.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks to you.
Right, and then, so last thing as always is please, please, please follow, subscribe and review us. It helps us get higher in the charts. It means more people see us. It means more people listen. So it's not just one man and his dog listening to us. Although we are very, very close to 1,200 listeners now, which is madness because...
And we've got listeners in Nepal, mate. We've got listeners in Nepal.
We've got a listener in Nepal, one in New Zealand, one in Pakistan, one in Ukraine, Germany, France, India, USA. What on earth all these people must be thinking about us three Stokies chatting absolute waffle about cricket, I don't know. But they all now have a new catchphrase, which is Jono's decent. I'm sure in Nepal there'll be someone playing a little bit of gully cricket going, decent that. Very decent. And next week, we have got another guest. We've got Scott Oliver, who writes for the Wisden Cricketer. And he is obviously a bit of a local lad, played for Mod. So Scott will be joining us to talk a little bit about, obviously, what he's learned about cricket being and or for a writer. So that should be really interesting. And once again, as Johnny said, we're now supporting CRY, the charity, Cardiac Risk for the Young. So please get donating and we'll sort you out with a bat sticker. And maybe Steve or one of the pros will be convinced that they should get rid of the bat sponsor and just have one of our stickers on, just because we're that good, obviously. He can also tell us where to go in a minute once we end this recording.
Yeah.
So
send a couple over.
Oh, I'll have to now.
Don't tempt us.
Yeah, don't tempt us. We'll send you back 200. But once again, big thanks, Steve, and a big thanks to the lads for joining me, as always. And a big thanks to you guys at home for listening. Everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday, where hopefully England will have won a T20 series. Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.